Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can find us on the ESPN app as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. You are shaking your head already.
Because it's like, we understand that it's usually never a dull day in sports, especially when you have all these sports happen at the same time. But damn, do we have a lot to talk about today. I can't wait to get started.
We certainly do. Look at you going, can't wait on me.
Oh.
You were on Get Up. You were on First Take today. And in both instances, you, no surprise to me, did not hold back. You were unfiltered as you normally are. You and Damian Woody, who's also going to join us on the show a little bit later on, you both had some strong things to say about Aaron Rodgers and that whole situation between him, the Packers, and the NFL, where he has tested positive for COVID, and now it comes out that he is not actually vaccinated, although he used the term that he was immunized back in August, leading us down the wrong path.
Smart-ass people from Cal.
But you guys were both furious about this whole situation. Explain why.
Because it's misleading, and I think when somebody misleads everybody and then walks around and acts as if he is and puts other people at risk, I have a problem with it. Now, whether his stance, over the years, we've given Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit, speaking out about Colin Kaepernick, speaking about issues. Now he comes here and he wants to have a perceived stance on something. And for him to say, hey, I'm immunized, whatever he said, man, I always say it wrong. I can't say it.
Immunized, right?
Yeah. For him to say that he's immunized, but then we know that he's trying to lead us to think that he's vaccinated, is something that I think is deceiving. I think the crime is always worse. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. And the fact that he is willing to do that just makes me question everything I've heard or believed about Aaron Rodgers. When somebody can look dead in front of somebody's face, when they ask them a plain, simple question.
You want to hear it?
And lie. Yeah, let me hear it.
Everybody understand, like, this is why this is becoming a bigger story. This is why it really now has, from when it came out while we were on the air yesterday, and we looked at it as he has, all right, he's got COVID. We already had that issue last week with Devontae Adams. And so now he's going to miss a game. That, at the time, that was the story.
Yeah.
I assumed he was vaccinated. I only assumed this based on two things. One, what he said in August. Two, he's been on the sidelines, no mask. Like, he's been out. Like, and I'm thinking,
hugging players from other teams, post-game.
Yeah, so I just assumed nothing's going on. The NFL hasn't called him out, so he must be vaccinated. So I thought nothing of it. Until, of course, we found out that the NFL views him as unvaccinated. And therefore, he's going to miss 10 days. And once that came out, it was like, hang on a second. There's a lot to digest here now. So let's bring you back to him in what now looks like him misleading the media and everybody else about his vaccination status. All right. The rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He said, the question was, are you vaccinated? And his answer was, yeah. And then he adds, I'm immunized.
And then you know that later on he tried to petition the NFL, yes, and they denied him. So he knew he wasn't immunized. The Green Bay Packers knew he wasn't immunized. And guess what? The NFL knew he wasn't immunized. So every week when you see Aaron Rodgers speaking to the media, the local media in Green Bay, he is breaking COVID protocol, right? Because if you have COVID if you're not vaccinated, you aren't allowed to be in a room with reporters. You have to talk to the media via Zoom. And if you are speaking with the media, you have to have a mask on. Mm-hmm. And he broke that protocol for two straight months. Mm-hmm. It has been teams that have been fined, lose draft picks, that have violated this. Remember just last year, the Ravens were fined heavily six figures. We had the Broncos fine six figures. The players were reprimanded for having, you know, trying to cut out their devices out of their padding, their tracking devices. Like, the fact that Green Bay would allow him to continuously walk in front of the media, knowing that he's not supposed to even be allowed to speak to the media, he has to speak to him via Zoom, is beyond me. That means to tell me that they were afraid to hold Aaron Rodgers accountable, and they should be held accountable because they allowed him to write the rules and to do whatever he wanted to. And in doing that, not only did they put former players, workers, but also the media at risk.
Now, let me explain. Kevin Seifert has a terrific outline of this whole thing on ESPN.com right now. Now, Rodgers has not been wearing a mask during press conferences with reporters. He has not been wearing it on the sidelines as well. And he explains the NFL and the NFLPA rules were amended this summer. Masks are required for unvaccinated players at games only if they're inactive, meaning they're not in uniform and not eligible to play. Active players are encouraged but not required to wear masks unless local or state guidelines require it. That's part of the current protocol. So none of the four teams that the Packers have played on the road have required active players to wear masks on the sidelines. So there's that part of it.
So what about him speaking to Kyler Murray, damn near whispering, damn near blowing in his damn
again,
ear?
Again, there's no – like, that's just you're encouraged to, but that's it. No discipline at this point has been made towards him.
Okay.
Now, the NFL has the ability to fine players at least $14,650 on a first offense for violating protocols. The maximum is $50,000. So that's where it is right now. It definitely sounds like he was in violation of protocols.
So if he's been doing it for 8 months, right?
Eight weeks. You say 8 months.
Well, eight weeks. If he's been doing it for 2 months, how many violations is that? Because they got the security cameras from the Buffalo Bills and fined the guy because he was seen in the common areas
with
his mask down.
Right. But
so how many times? So are we going to get the security cameras from Green Bay? It's every time his mask is down, fine him more?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how about holding the people accountable? Because they're supposed to enforce the rules from Green Bay. So if they're not enforcing the rules, they need to lose draft picks. Aaron Rodgers needs to be suspended for lying to the media and deceiving. Also, what about him breaking the rule that you're supposed to not, that you can't be at team events where it's more than three people together, right? It was more than three people together at the Halloween party when he was John Wick, right? Who knew that he was trying to murder people a different way? Well, that's a tongue-in-cheek, okay? Take that back for anybody to stop Googling me. Whatever.
I know you don't mean that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He is putting people at risk, right? Because they assume that he's vaccinated.
But
take it home to somebody that has a compromised immune system?
And again, let's just look at this though from just in what's black and white right now on the page, and that is whether he broke protocols. If the league knew, why they've done nothing about it? Reporters knew but said nothing about it. Right? Everything was assumed. There was no follow up question when he said, "Yes, I'm immunized." The follow-up question should have been, are you vaccinated? Because, and again, Seifert's thing here is really good. I mean, it's excellent. Because there is a difference. Now, the CDC, the Centers of Disease Control, defines vaccination as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. The definition for immunization is a process by which a person becomes protected against the disease through vaccination. So he is using that word, and he's misleading you.
Right.
It's misleading. Now, again,
so what treatment did he get?
Your assumption as a reporter is when he says that, you're going, oh, okay, you were. But inquiring minds would want to know, oh, which one did you get? But this is what happens is you
protect it.
This is what's happened in this thing is that in the media, you're so afraid to follow up because it's, oh, I'm getting personal now. I'm asking a personal question. Everybody gets offended. And I don't want to offend people because I don't want to be a bad guy. But those now understand this is why the media has to ask certain questions in the way they ask them.
Because people lie.
Because of that. Because I just need to make sure. Like, I just need to make sure. I need to know if it's immunized or vaccinated. Which one is it? One is a result of the other. And if it is, okay, well, which one did you get? When did you get it? Did you get both? Like, all that stuff. Like, that's basically is why you have to ask those questions instead of all that reporters berating him and badgering him with all these questions about details, because we want to know. And this is why. Because for 2 months, we have assumed he is, but yet we're told the NFL
denied his request.
Didn't see him as such. Now, Rodgers, again, Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers, said Rodgers pursued an alternative treatment.
What the hell's an alternative treatment?
I don't know.
Did he get the Batman purple flower and smoke up the vapors? Like, because
zinc and elderberry?
Yeah, what did he do? Because either you got J. Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, or Pfizer. Like, that's the only alternative acceptable vaccination.
So he petitioned the NFL to recognize him as vaccinated, and the NFL said no. And they basically are basing it on their clear language in the agreement with the union that there is only one way that we will accept vaccination, and that's it. So once it was no, we're done. If the league knew, nothing was said. And it's Aaron Rodgers. We walk on eggshells around him.
Right.
You certainly know the Packers have him because they don't want to lose him. And he looks really bad right now. And you wonder, what does the NFL do here? Because you can't just glaze over this thing. Something has to be, does an example need to be made of him, Bart? As a player, would you say to yourself, he should not be held to a different standard?
He should be held to a higher standard because he openly, honestly, outwardly lied, misled, right? It's one thing to kind of get caught like, man, he was lax. He had his mask down like the kid in Buffalo. But like for him to be around and be at team functions with no mask, understanding that he had it, right? You know, what would have happened if we would have got other people sick as well, right? He already got, you know, we don't know if he's the reason why the kid, the backup got COVID. We don't know who initiated.
Yeah, well, there's none of that we can assume, right? None of that we can assume, and we can't assume anything.
But he put people at risk.
Well,
because his behavior outside of the facility.
You can go with all that stuff. All I'm saying is he broke protocols. He broke rules.
Openly.
And he kind of, and it's almost like mocking the whole system. We took Kyrie Irving to task.
Yeah.
And all he was open and honest from the very beginning. We took him to task because you're not making yourself available to your team and you're choosing to do something that you don't really believe in or against. Yeah. You're just doing it to represent something. So we went after Kyrie about that, right? Not being available for his team, choosing to not be available. This is a far worse sin that Aaron Rodgers is committing here.
He openly lied and misled. You can say, oh, well, he didn't really technically lie. He said, no, whatever. He knew what he was doing. He's smart enough to understand. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what the question was, and he knew that the answer was no.
Yeah.
It was either a simple yes or no, and the answer was no. And Aaron Rodgers lied to the people, and he misled the reporters for weeks on top of weeks. And you know, now he should be held accountable for it. And also because of the team knowing and LaFleur talking about, oh, well, I'll let him discuss that. No, you know, every organization knows who exactly is immunized because you have to get tested more coming into the building.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's that story, which is a huge story today. And we'll get your calls 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There's one other NFL headline just real quick to touch on, and that is Odell Beckham Jr., excused from practice yesterday. He's also today excused from practice from the Browns. Jake Trotter doing that reporting. That's basically it. So Odell's representation and the Browns are working on a resolution for his future, which tells us his future will not be in Cleveland, right? We can assume that?
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm showing up to work. You're going to have to just outright fire me. We're going to do this expediently. Because it's a half a season ago. I'm in football shape. I'm healthy. It's no way in hell I'm going to sit my ass at home knowing that next year you guys are going to let me go. So you can't pay me to sit at home. No, I am a football player and I'm in a business playing football. And if I didn't do anything detrimental to the team, I didn't send a video. I didn't break any laws, right? I didn't do anything wrong. So why in the hell am I not being allowed to come to work to do my job, something I love to do? Because if you're not going to do that, then release me so I can go play for somebody else. Oh, you don't want to have to see me.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want the Baltimore Ravens to pick me up. Oh, you don't want me to enjoy my best life and go out there with LeBron and go play for the Rams. Oh, you don't want me to go to Vegas. Oh, so now you don't believe I can play. I'm a detriment to the team, but you won't let me go so I can go play where I need to go play.
All right, so there's that story, and there's plenty of also to touch on that. And that's all Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But now we have some breaking news that is appearing on ESPN.com.
I can't handle
as
any more breaking
we
news.
Speak.
No, more news?
Yeah, this has been a very busy couple of days, but this is a very serious story out of the NBA. And the headline on a story written by and reported by Baxter Holmes, our ESPN senior reporter, it says allegations of racism and misogyny within the Phoenix Suns inside Robert Sarver's 17-year tenure as owner. It's a story that Jordan Schultz referenced or at least alluded to would be coming a couple of weeks ago that the Suns put out statements denying before the story even came out. Now, Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver is accused of overseeing an organization that many employees have described as toxic and sometimes hostile. A report from ESPN's Baxter Holmes is revealing this. Holmes interviewed more than 70 former and current Suns employees who have been part of the team throughout Sarver's 17-year tenure. Now, according to the report, Sarver has used racially insensitive, and lewd language repeatedly in the office and displayed conduct employees recount as inappropriate and misogynistic. Multiple current and former employees also told ESPN about conduct by other members of Suns leadership team that they felt contributed to the work environment. While none said Sarver was involved in those incidents, many felt Sarver's own conduct contributed to a culture that affected how some other managers within the organization treated their employees. This is a story that is very heavily reported. It is on ESPN.com right now. Baxter Holmes is the writer. And the anecdote it begins with is jarring. But it begins with when Earl Watson was the head coach of the team in 2016 at the start of the season. And they were playing the Golden State Warriors. And after the game, Sarver went into the coach's room. And this is according to Watson. This is not source-based. This is Earl Watson telling the story. And Draymond Green apparently had gotten a technical in the game and was, and so did a Suns player. And Sarver, according to Watson, said, "Why does Draymond Green get to run up and down the court and say," and Sarver used the N-word. And Sarver, who's white, allegedly said the N-word several times in a row. Watson, who is black and Hispanic, said to Sarver, "You can't say that." And Sarver replied, again, this is all alleged, "Why?" Draymond Green says, and then he used the N-word again. And then Watson said, "You can't blanking say that." And that's just one anecdote that is a glimpse into the conduct that sources are telling ESPN that Sarver has often exhibited since he bought the Suns in 2004. The NBA has a serious problem and now certainly has to take a deep look into this, into this kind of reporting.
Coming off the heels of the Donald Sterling.
And it wasn't that long ago, the Donald Sterling story. Now this, as reading this whole story, it's a very long story, and I encourage everybody to take a look at it from top to bottom. But it's incredibly disturbing for a franchise that had a renaissance last year getting to the finals. Chris Paul, by the way, who was a leader on this team, was also on the Clippers when you had the Donald Sterling controversy, disaster, whatever you want to call that.
I mean, you hope that...
Now, again, there's throughout this story, and I'm sorry, Bart, but throughout this story, there are denials in statements from Sarver and his lawyers throughout this story, denying ever using these words, said, "I've never called anyone or any group of people the N-word or referred to anyone or any group of people by the N-word, either verbally or in writing. I don't use that word. It's abhorrent, it's ugly, and denigrating, and against everything I believe in."
Word salad, right? Because he said, because now you can say that he said he was quoting, right? So quoting. So that, once again, like it looks like a lawyer. Of course, a lawyer wrote that statement, right? Because the difference between this and the Donald Sterling is we don't have a visual evidence, right? So it's nothing visual. So now it turns to hearsay. But here's the problem for the Phoenix Suns as an organization. I mean, of course, the NBA is going to have to do an internal investigation. But you think about how is this going to affect the team and the African-Americans. That's why the one good thing is the fact that you have Chris Paul, who navigated through this before, to try and figure out how we move forward as we try and figure out if or this isn't something that's true.
And keep in mind, the Suns play tonight at home against the Rockets.
Remember last time
they almost didn't take the court when they were with the Clippers, and Doc Rivers was the head coach at that point. So there is a lot to get to on that story as well. A lot of headlines for you. Again, we told you about Aaron Rodgers.
The head coach is black,
we told
you
about, and so is the general manager. Yeah, Monty Williams, James Jones, yeah. So the writer of this extensive investigative piece is the one we need to talk to, and we're going to do that next. Baxter Holmes will join us. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
On Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G. For only $299, no contract, all in America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. All right, let's go to the Goodyear hotline right now because the headline of a story that just posted on ESPN.com, allegations of racism and misogyny within the Phoenix Suns inside Robert Sarver's 17-year tenure as owner, a story that is an explosive one right now for the NBA, and the author, the writer, the reporter of this, Baxter Holmes, who joins us right now. Baxter, how you doing? I mean, this story, I tried to read it, just posted, and we're on the air, and I'm trying to consume as much of it as I can. I do have a lot of the bullet points on it, but as somebody that has covered the NBA, as you know, for a long time, I guess my reaction to this is I'm not surprised of all the things that I know about that organization and that owner. Can you tell us what you know more about this?
Well, the phrase you just mentioned, not being surprised, I have to be honest, and I think it's mentioned somewhere fairly high up in the story where a former executive used that exact phrase of a lack of surprise. And to be honest, I heard very similar language from others. To take a step back, my impressions of the organization from afar, were a lot of what had been written in media reports, and they typically focused on Robert Sarver being frugal with respect to paying executives, things of that nature, what the payroll looked like on the team, or stories that touched on his level of involvement and if it ever crossed the line on basketball operations of being meddling. But I have to be honest, in speaking to a number of staffers, and again, more than 70 current and former staffers throughout his 17-year reign, it became quite clear that there was something much deeper there with respect to the culture, to the workplace, the conduct of both Robert Sarver and members of the senior leadership around him.
Now, with these allegations, is Sarver in jeopardy of potentially losing his franchise, or is this something that the league has to investigate? Because one thing about the Donald Sterling, we had the smoking gun because we had the video. Right now, the tape. Right now, is nobody that says that they have proof. So it seems like it's hearsay or their word against his.
Well, in terms of an investigation of what may happen, that's out of my hands. I'll leave that to the league. Certainly, as it's mentioned in the story, there's a current business employee who said if the commissioner were to come in and investigate, that they would be appalled. With respect to a potential investigation, one thing I would note is staffers there described seeing investigations play out in Dallas and with the Clippers and feeling that, particularly over a 17-year period, why has nothing been done here? Not necessarily just laying that at the feet of the NBA, but why has no one done anything and more or less left us on an island and allowed aspects of this culture and of this workplace to persist? So there's the timeline is something, for as many questions as I asked for the story, that is probably the key question that so many people ask me, is how come nothing has ever been done? Mm-hmm. How come no one's ever been held to account?
Right. No real official complaints yet. We're talking with Baxter Holmes, the reporter who has a story right now on ESPN.com that is outlines with a lot of reporting, over 70 staff members, and talking with Earl Watson and other coaches in the past about Robert Sarver's tenure as owner, which involved racism, misogyny, and a lot of other disturbing factors. And with that in the story throughout, as a good reporter would, you have all of the statements from Sarver and his attorneys, and every single one of them denies it strongly about even using, as again is reported in this story, the N-word. And what do you make of that, the fact that they are very strongly with these denials through his lawyers, saying they did not, he has never used that word?
Well, that's certainly their, you know, right. We stand behind our story and our reporting. And as you know, that's probably the key point that they emphasize. There's certainly, and as you know, look, for a very, very long story, mm-hmm. you know, going to the Suns and asking for comment on a number of allegations in virtually, you know, in over a long period of time in so many different aspects of the department. But that was something that the Suns were very adamant about. And as some people said later in the story, that's not the Robert Sarver that they know. But again, we stand behind our reporting and our story and our sources who relayed accounts from throughout his tenure that speak contrary to what the Suns are saying.
Now, the Suns play tonight. Are current players aware of these allegations? Like Chris Paul was there and with the Clippers. I mean, it's almost like here we go again with him in this situation. Are current players aware of this?
I'd have to imagine that when the Suns put out their statement, and forgive me on the time because I don't have the exact date, but in recent weeks, I think maybe a week and a half ago or mm-hmm. something to that effect, that people became aware, certainly, if they didn't already know in the organization of a potential story. And again, that statement kind of outlined what the nature were of some of the allegations. Now, with respect to who's read it, what the reactions are, I don't have any reporting for you on the moment. But like you, I will certainly be interested to see what the reaction is, not only of the players, but around the league office, you know, in the city of Phoenix, of course, all of that.
So what do we make about, you know, the NBA never receiving an official complaint about Sarver?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And one of the things that it actually makes me think of, as it outlines a lot in the story, is the Suns' own HR department. You know, we talked to a number of staffers who described that they feared retaliation from that department, did not feel comfortable going to them to file complaints. Also hearing from members of that HR department that told me that they would privately advise employees to sue the organization. And even in my conversations with people in recent days, they've described fear of retaliation and kind of a culture of silence. Because of that fear and overall a culture of fear and intimidation. So I think those elements are certainly at play with respect to employees potentially speaking out about some of these things. But again, I can't speak directly to why the NBA hasn't received any formal or informal complaints, as they noted when we reached out to them for comment.
Baxter Holmes joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. His story up right now at ESPN.com, allegations of racism and misogyny within the Phoenix Suns in the NBA. Owner Robert Sarver's 17-year tenure, it just outlines so many different instances, over 70 people providing source-based information. Baxter, whenever these types of stories begin, it's like pulling a thread on a sweater, right? And then when you realize, like was there one moment, one conversation you had when you realize this is pretty bad?
You know, it's interesting you asked that, because there was a particular question that I found led to the type of material that, as you said, I would describe as disturbing. And often in talking with current or former staffers, you know, I'd ask about their specific role in the organization. I'd ask, you know, what their path to the organization was. And then I would ask, so what was it like? working there, or what is it like working there? And the responses were astounding. As people, there were many emotional responses. People would cry as they recounted their own experiences, things they endured, things they witnessed, the effects on themselves personally, having to go to counseling. It's, as I mentioned in the story, there's a couple of female staffers, one of whom describes contemplating suicide, another saying that it broke me and I'm not easy to break. People talking about the toll on their family life. And another thing that stood out there was these stories came from people at every level and every department of the organization across a 17-year period. People who never worked together, who worked in completely opposite sides of the organization, and may not even have ever spoken to one another, were sharing virtually the same kinds of stories. And as I touched on earlier, I saw how the Suns churned through a bunch of coaches and GMs at what seemed like a rapid pace, and how they were at the bottom of the NBA standings, picking high in the draft every year. I didn't know going in what all would be there, but that one question, so what was it like working there, led to some stories that are going to stay with me for a long time.
Yeah, this is definitely a story that is going to stay with a lot of people for a very long time, including, of course, the NBA and Adam Silver, the commissioner, who's going to have to take immediate action in just going through this, investigating and following through. But it always takes great reporting to get it started, and that's certainly what you brought here in this story. Baxter, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Baxter Holmes, again, the story on ESPN.com right now, and the headline, allegations of racism and misogyny within the Phoenix Suns. Inside Robert Sarver's 17-year tenure as owner, Bart, you hear what he's saying through his reporting. The people that he talked to, many people couldn't put their name to it because they still work for the organization. Wow. And, people breaking down emotionally.
I wonder how deep this goes throughout the league, right?
The guy was known as to be cheap.
Yeah.
Notoriously cheap owner, right?
Yeah.
This takes it to, obviously, that other level. He was never an owner that anyone embraced or liked. He didn't like dealing with him. I knew people who played for him, who coached for him. You just get that sense that it's not the best of places to work.
I just
wonder, but you never, never expect anything like this, especially in the NBA.
I wonder how this is in all of professional sports, because it seems like a sports problem, right? We're coming off the heels of John Gruden.
Oh, yeah, those emails.
And those emails, yep. And that was led to because it was about the culture and work environment because for the Washington football team,
mm-hmm.
right? So I wonder how deep this goes, man, and maybe they need to forensically start investigating everybody, right? Just checking in on everybody because to make sure that it's a culture and put new legislation within their bylaws as NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB that makes it easier to take a franchise from a team if they aren't living up to the standards of the shield. Because ultimately, before you talk about the individual teams, it's about representing whatever shield
the league
that you're representing.
Right.
So they need to make it easier so you can be able to eradicate, some of these, issues out of the league.
If you're an owner in the NBA, it goes without saying that you don't want somebody like that in your club. We always say, right, it's a club, right? Owners is a club.
But unless,
you don't want somebody like that, just like Donald Sterling. That happened quickly.
But we don't want
this guy around.
But we assume that Donald Sterling was the only one. Or is he just the only one that got caught?
And that, of course, is now the question that is opened up, and that's the last thing that Adam Silver or any commissioner wants for their league. All right, we'll continue with this story. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. Chris Paul, as I mentioned, he's been through something like this before with the Clippers and Donald Sterling. That night, Chris Paul refused to take the floor to play for the Clippers. Remember, the Suns are at home tonight, and they host the Rockets. We see the same thing tonight in Phoenix, and the question is, would you blame them? Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN+, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, we have... you! We have... a new week in the NFL already. It's Thursday. This has been a quick week, hasn't it?
No, it's been a lot going on.
Of headlines. Yes, but we have a game tonight, and that game includes your former team, New York Jets, and the Indianapolis Colts. A rematch. of the Super Bowl from 1968.
I guarantee it. I got a guarantee, too.
All right, you got a guarantee. What is your guarantee?
Mike White will not fall off a cliff. He still will perform at a high level.
Really?
I don't know how high, but Mike Jones is here to stay.
Mike White, yes.
Mike White.
What gives you the confidence that what you saw against the Bengals, he could replicate, maybe not the 400 yards, but he could replicate successfully against the Colts?
Because he's going against a similar team, right, with similar skill set, right? They have Buckner on the inside, Kwity Paye on the outside, but they don't really have tremendous pass rushers from the outside. That offensive line is played at a high level. And when you look at the defense of the Indianapolis Colts, they mimic the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be a 4-3 team. They're not going to be really aggressive. They're going to get tremendous depth at the linebacker position, which opens up the same thing that it opened up last week, means throwing to the running backs, giving them opportunities to make plays. Now, I know they have Darius Leonard. He's an outstanding player, but they're really struggling on the back end. They don't have tremendous secondary play. That's where their weakness are. They lost one of their best safeties last week, a couple weeks ago, and they're struggling, right? We were talking about them maybe being a candidate to try and trade for Marcus May. Well, guess what? The Jets decided to go all in. They kept everybody. They didn't trade anybody. Mm-hmm. They said
they acquired an offensive lineman.
Joe Douglas said he doesn't want to get rid of good players. So now if White continues to do the same thing he did last week, and if they try and take away the running backs, then it opens up the real estate behind the linebackers in front of the safeties. So no matter what, you still can be okay. And then Carson Wentz on the other side. He's going to serve you up one or two. Now, I know the Jets just got their first interception, and oddly enough, it was from Shaq Lawson, who's a linebacker, defensive end, leads the team in interceptions.
Right.
It's kind of odd. But I tell you what, you don't complain. You just take what you can get. But right now, I think the Colts are on their heels. And listen, going on a short week, they had a tremendous game against the Tennessee Titans, went into overtime. I think they're banged up, and they're the least healthy team out of the two.
Now, Mike White can turn the ball over.
Who?
Yes. He does turn the ball over, and that's something to watch here because the Colts are number two in the league in turnover differential. They're plus +8. The Jets are completely the worst, one of the worst in the league at minus -10. So the turnovers in this game with a quarterback like Mike White, we know he will turn it over.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is
– so that's what you got. I think you watch that. But if you run the ball – Michael Carter, Ty Johnson, they've really had success with the running backs. Now, on the other side of things, you mentioned Carson Wentz, and their offensive line has been banged up, has been injured. Can Quinnen Williams be a difference maker in this game as well?
Quinnen Williams, I think Sheldon Rankin's people aren't realizing what a great season he's having, and he sets the table for everybody. Now, Franklin Myers, since he got paid all that cheese on his taco, really has slowed down.
Hard to eat when you're full.
I don't think he's healthy, but Zuniga came in, and oh my God, that is an Adam Gase draftee. Came in with a sack last week. I think CJ Mosley, Davis coming back. Listen, you don't even have to mention Echols or Michael Carter on the outside, because guess what? They have been a non-issue, right? Pittman is tough, but they shut down Jamar Chase. If they can shut him down, they should be able to shut down anybody.
This is a must-win for the Colts. Say it.
This is a must-win for the Jets, because we still have a chance. We ain't throwing the towel yet.
Are you crazy? A must-win? Well, the Jets win this game, they'd be 3-5.
They're still alive.
That is insane.
You got to go 3-5 if you want to be 4-5, and if you want to be 4-5, you got to get to 5-5. Yeah, we're streaking! We're streaking! You ain't make my love come down, baby, me all the way down.
Kind of needed that.
Man, you make my love. Yeah, a little energy reset.
Yeah, we needed that.
So dark.
It's been that way. Dark. It has been that way today, hasn't it? The last couple of days, Aaron Rodgers' story.
You adopted the darkness. I was born in it.
It's kind of like some of these stories do frustrate you. Again, Aaron Rodgers thing and just how frustrating it is for a guy that we've only been celebrating to now kind of be deceiving towards people. And this has nothing to do with vaccination or not vaccination. As we said, we've been through it with Kyrie, the same thing. You have your choice, but you also shouldn't lie to people. Simple as that. You shouldn't lie to
people. You're a liar.
You shouldn't mislead people. And that's what he did. And I'll tell you what, I also ask, if reporters knew all along, where have you been?
Yeah.
If the NFL has known all along, where you been? Why is this suddenly like, oh, by the way,
maybe,
he's not vaccinated. He's not.
Maybe if they'd nipped this in the bud, you would have saved him from himself and also potentially from infecting other teammates.
Yeah. Let's grab some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, the Robert Sarver story right now on ESPN.com, the investigative story that Baxter Holmes has done, which is an explosive story in the NBA. of allegations of racism and misogyny in his 17 years as owner. And that is, of course, something that the league is going to have to look at right away. You should, too, on ESPN.com. And what should Chris Paul do tonight and his teammates do tonight? They are home. They are hosting the Rockets. Chris Paul's been through this before. Where? With the Clippers. Remember? Donald Sterling. Yeah, that was Chris Paul on that team, too. He must be like I can't shake it.
Man.
Right? It's everywhere. And so, and that's a major. You said it, too. Now you wonder. You look at everybody. And now you're going, what about you? What about you? This opens that up. And if I'm an owner, a guy like that, I don't want you in my club because you make us all look bad.
And if I'm Chris Paul, I call Earl Watson man-to-man. He's in the fraternity. He was a player. I call him man-to-man. Yo. Did he do that? Did that really go down?
You'd want to hear him say it. Well, he put his name on it in the story. Yeah. That, to me, says everything. All right, let's get some calls, Bart. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got Derek in New York to start us off. Derek.
Yo, Alan, what's up, man? It's been a minute. Bart, what's up?
What'd he do?
Nah, listen. These owners, it's not just, you know, one owner. It's all of them. Because, look, Dance, you got Dance Night.
I don't know if I can say all of them.
I can't paint with a broad brush. Let's not do a broad brush,
but listen, it's like this. When Colin Kaepernick sued, they didn't want this stuff to come out because they knew it was some dirt by some other owners. But even, like, you had, like, James Dolan, his issues. You had Donald Sterling, his issues. It's not just, like, one owner, you know, an outlier. It's probably, like, a couple. If there's 30 owners, there's probably like two per owner, you know, per league and stuff like that. Even with the Blackhawks, they had a situation. But like you said, you know, you got to get these guys out and you got to vet them more than just about the league. The
Blackhawks won, Derek, and thanks for the call. It had nothing to do with ownership. That was coaching and leadership and management. That was a brutal job.
But they're saying it always floats up to the top.
Yeah.
But I just think the league has to do a better job. You know, I own an Amazon business, right? So every once in a while, I have my HR just go up there and start talking to drivers because you have to know what's going on and what the workers of the league, they work for the teams individually, but you have to give them the anonymity or whatever, right?
Yeah.
To be able to say what they feel away from the threat of being fired or let go. So I think as a league, we have to be able to speak out to some of these environments and talk to some of these workers, not put it in the hands.
Well, they do have that, though. The league has that line, and they said they've never even gotten a call on that line to find out anything on that. So more, again, on this story, more of your comments as well, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of headlines today, of course, to get to, and that includes the Aaron Rodgers story and what the repercussions for him and the Packers should be about this story, him misleading the media, the fans, and fellow players as well. That's coming up. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.